Oh, church, welcome guests, friends. We are so glad to connect with you. My name is Rockford Johnson. I'm serving as senior pastor along with so many good leaders and pastors and this whole church. And we welcome you to this worship service today. Please let us know you're worshiping with us by clicking on the link in the chat box or going to our website, mcfarlandumc.org, and there letting us know that you're connecting with us. We appreciate that. You can also leave us your prayer celebrations and concerns on the front page of our website. There's a button that you can click. I believe it says prayer requests, and we will receive those and pray along with you. If this is your first time to connect with us, we invite you to contact us through our website. You can find all that information, and we would love to hear from you and answer your questions and be in a relationship with you. I want you to know that this afternoon, Sunday, July 25, at 2 p.m., we're having the third of our informational sessions, the third and last of our information sessions, related to a proposal for renovations here at McFarland, and we would love for you to come and be a part of that in Finn Hall. And if you have missed, can't come to that and miss the others, there is a recording of a Zoom presentation that you may connect with, and we can get you that information, or look on our website, and you'll find it under information session. I want to invite Joshua Chisholm to stand with me today. He's our new director of youth and children's choirs. He's a great addition to our music team, the strong, robust music team we have here at McFarland. He has led music ministry in churches and has taught music in public schools for over a decade. He's currently a candidate for the Doctorate of Musical Education and Choral Pedagogy degree at OU. And he brings not only experience, but passion and energy for our ministry here with children and with youth and students. And we are blessed. Joshua, we're thankful to God for your presence among us and your leadership. And we look forward to a long time of ministry together. Thank you. We appreciate you. Today is the first in our series of sermons called Life Verses, preaching on a select scripture that has become highly significant over time in the lives of our pastors and leaders in the church. And this involves each of our pastors preaching in both the modern worship service and in this sanctuary service over this series. Today, our preaching will be done by our director of missions, Scott Meyer, with a focus on faith expressed in real-world application. And so we will hear him well today. So as we think together and pray and engage in praise and music together, let us remember, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
In Scripture, we find affirmation and assurance for life. May you please join me on the affirmation. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. No, in all things, we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death or life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor aid, nor death, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, you who are active and interactive in our lives and in our world, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for all the gifts, blessings, strengths, abilities, and enjoyments of life. Thank you for the strength of your peace and the comfort of your strength during our moments of struggle, temptation, or fear. We trust, but not perfectly, so increase our faith. We conduct ourselves according to our faith and seek to act in ways that transform people and our world. But we also fail to act. We stumble when we attempt to implement our faith in what we not only say, but do. Forgive us. Forgive us and set us free to flourish as representatives and extensions of your work in the world, like those of our church going on mission action projects this summer. May every day of our living be a real and observable expression of your love at work in our lives for the good of our families and for other families and for all. Open our eyes, O Lord, and expand our hearts so that we can see the needs all around us and listen to the calling voice of your Spirit as devoted followers of Jesus, as imitators of his active ministry. Lord, listen to us, your children, praying. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. Listen as we empty our hearts, praying together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Oh.
Scripture reading today comes from James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. Hear the word of the Lord. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith." You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you senseless person, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not our ancestor Abraham justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was brought to completion by the works. Thus the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Likewise, was not Rahab the prostitute who also justified by works when she welcomed the messengers and sent them out by another road? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I am glad that you are joining us for worship this morning, wherever you find yourself. What a beautiful and great day it is to be together. And I'm excited about this new sermon series, Life Verses, as over the next several weeks, we will have the opportunity to share with you verses that have been powerful and guiding in our own lives. I also want to share with you about this great study that Pastor Trey has put together that goes along with the series. There's some great questions and things to ponder and think about as we travel these weeks together. And I would encourage you to pick one up. And if you need us to send you one in the mail, just let us know and we will make sure that you get one. You will be blessed to take some time to do that. Let's have a word of prayer. Most holy and gracious God, open up our hearts and our minds to what it is that you have to say today. I pray, oh God, that the words that I speak are really your words and that they enter into our lives and our beings and they, coupled with your spirit, guide us in the directions you want us to go. In Christ's name, amen. When I was in high school, I desperately wanted to find that place that I fit in. When I was 12 years old, my family moved from Salem, Oregon, to the small town of Walla Walla, Washington, in southeastern Washington state. And like many people who moved to a small town, fitting in was difficult for me. Pioneer United Methodist Church became my place, the place that I fit in, and the place that helped me to develop an understanding of my purpose and ultimately my calling in life. During my junior and senior years of high school, I was given the opportunity to travel on 3 mission trips to Tijuana, Mexico. While there, we worked in orphanages and we took food to people who were living near the city dump, people who were going through the garbage in that dump, looking for things that they could resell or recycle, and in some cases, even food to eat. And I remember we helped build some homes as well. The desire to find my place in this world, along with the opportunities afforded to me through my church, helped me to understand that the Christian faith is meant to be put into action, that faith truly is a verb. Now, as followers of Jesus, we need to understand the way of Jesus and then to live out the way of Jesus. In this passage, James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, that Pastor Rockford just read this morning, that passage has been pivotal in my life and in my understanding of how I and we are to live our lives as followers of Jesus. And for me, the key verse that has driven much of my life and my faith is James chapter 2, verse 26. And it says this, it was just read, "For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." This life verse of mine, faith without action is dead, has become my guide. When I struggle in my faith, when I struggle with what I should or shouldn't do, when I have moments of doubt or disappointment, I often find myself going back to James chapter 2 to find some assurance and some direction. And as a result of James chapter 2, I've coined a little saying in my own life, something that's kind of guided me. The saying that I have coined from this is, working my faith, working my faith. So I want to talk a little bit about what it means to work our faith this morning. First of all, working our faith directly increases our faith. Through living out our faith, working our faith, when we get a front row seat to seeing God change people's lives. When we work our faith, we become witnesses to everyday miracles of God. And seeing God at work increases and strengthens our own faith. We witness God at work in real and tangible ways. We see answers to our prayers unfold before our very eyes. And we have the chance to see transformation take place in ways that are both unexpected and miraculous. Working our faith allows us to experience God's power firsthand, and that naturally produces increased faith in our own lives and in the lives of people around us. I'll never forget the first house from the ground up that McFarland built in the Rio Grande Valley of South Texas. In 2015, McFarland built a home for a family that had been victims of a tragic event. In a small neighborhood just north of McAllen, Texas, a man lit a house on fire in an effort to conceal the assault he had committed weeks earlier. Inside this house was a young woman, pregnant with her child, who had been the victim of that assault. The house was quickly consumed by flames, and that young woman and her child perished. Left behind were her mother, her brother, and a younger sister, and an empty piece of property that was now filled with more sorrow than joy. When we were offered the opportunity to build a new house for this family, we knew that this was about more than just four walls and a few rooms. This was to be an act of working our faith. And as our team of adults, followed by a team of students, worked on that house, they braved the elements and learning how to build a house from the ground up, and something amazing happened. Faith was expressed. That family was transformed by our teams living out their faith. The younger sister, who was really affected by this tragic event, went back to college to finish her degree. And when she moved into this house, she quickly worked to create a solid community with the neighbors around her. She began to connect families together and hosted neighborhood parties and began to seek ways to help neighbors in need. It was an incredible experience. And most importantly, she rediscovered her faith. She shared that after she moved into the new house, she had this desire to go back to church. And having experienced this tragedy and loss, she'd felt that God had turned his back on her and her family. But after a group from Norman, Oklahoma, built her family a new house, she witnessed the love of Jesus in a new and powerful way. Working our faith helps us see and experience what we're made for. You and I have been gifted by God, and we are incredibly valuable to God and to the church. And instead of trying to look and speak and act the same as others, we are called to serve using the unique and special gifts, skills, and abilities that God has given to you and to me. And like a puzzle, God brings all of us together, just like those puzzle pieces, and you and I together work for the kingdom of God and the kingdom of good. The Message translation of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 says that when we find and use our unique gifts, it says, quote, "We're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ." To me, that's a beautiful image. All of us moving together, fully alive, changing lives that change the world, helping to transform the world into the fullness and likeness of Jesus. Now, working our faith also draws us into authentic community. One of the byproducts of living out our faith is that we are given the opportunity to live in community with each other, a community that is deep and abiding, one where we are able to let our guards down and equality is experienced. Ask anyone who's traveled on a mission trip or served together with others in some way, and they will tell you that with those with whom they have served become like family. Working our faith redirects our focus to Jesus. When we live out our faith, you and I begin to look to Jesus as our example. We look to Jesus to become more like Jesus in an effort to create a world that God wants, which is really where this passage in James has guided me the most in my personal faith journey. I find myself reading the entire rest of the Bible sort of in light of James chapter 2. Like, I'll read a story in Scripture or hear a command about the way I'm to live, and I immediately begin to ask myself, how am I going to do that? How am I going to live that out? James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26 provides a lens for me through which I view the rest of Scripture. For example, when I read the story of Jesus healing the man with leprosy in Matthew chapter 8, I look at what Jesus did, and I look for ways that I can do that same thing when I come into contact with somebody who's untouchable or one of the outcasts of our society. The compassion, the love, the fact that Jesus reached out and touched this man who had a disease that was terribly contagious and deadly, that teaches me that when I see someone in need, I am called to reach out in love and compassion, and I am called to break down the barriers that are created between people. When I read the Ten Commandments, I find myself asking, how am I going to live each commandment out? What is it that I can do to reflect this faith that I have? Now, the reality is, people don't want to hear you talk about your faith. People want us to be a tangible witness to what we say we believe. Thinking back to this study we just finished of 1 John, there was a particular verse in 1 John that really stuck out to me week after week. It's 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, and it says, "Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action." James chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, again, just read recently, says, "Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of them says, 'Go in peace and keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." And then I read in Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, where Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." You know, as I've moved into this role of director of missions, I am discovering the power of McFarland working our faith. Taking care of those in need is messy, it's difficult, and sometimes it even threatens to make us cynical. And yet, I keep seeing miracles around every corner. And I can tell you right now that as McFarland works our faith, we are changing the world in significant and real and tangible ways. Now, as I've said, I believe that each and every one of us has been put on this earth for a reason, for a purpose. The idea that we're called into some sort of ministry is not just reserved for clergy or church staff. Rather, it is something that God has called each and every one of us to. And I think there's three important components to figuring out how it is that you can work your faith. First of all, what is your passion? What are your interests? And what is it that you really care about? Now, we all have things that are important to us. Those things might be our family, our career, the things that we enjoy doing, our free time. But what about those things around you that break your heart? Those situations in our world that tug at your emotions in such a way that you can't help but think what the world would be like if things were different. You know, the stuff that breaks the heart of God. Hunger, homelessness, racism, injustice and inequality, education, the environment, mental health concerns. When you see a part of the world as it is and you can't help but imagine it differently, that becomes your passion. You know, one of the passions that I have is to see everyone in safe and secure housing, one where people are nurtured and encouraged in their life. And I think some of that comes out of the fact that that's the kind of place I grew up in. That was the kind of home that my family created. But I often see a world where that's not the case. I see children in the streets of cities in the Middle East after their homes have been destroyed by bombs. I see families fleeing war and famine in countries far away. I see people who simply cannot afford a place to live and are forced into shelters or homelessness. And right here in our own community, I know of people who fear going home because of what takes place behind closed doors. And it breaks my heart. I imagine a world different, and I find myself wanting to work my faith for something different. I want to work my faith for change. Second, what are your gifts and talents? What are the ways that God has gifted you? What do you do well? What are your strengths and the things that you find easy to do, natural and without much effort? God has gifted each and every one of us in special and unique and important ways so that we can use those gifts to further the cause of Christ in this world. We can use those gifts to work our faith. Now, if you've never taken a spiritual gifts assessment, I want to encourage you to do this. And there's a really good one on the United Methodist Church's website. And if you search United Methodist Spiritual Gifts Assessment, that's a lot, you'll find this really easy assessment to take. It's a few questions followed by a description of each of the spiritual gifts. And one of the things that you might just find is God has gifted you in a way that you can then begin to use to work your faith. You know, I think about our food pantry and our mobile food pantry, which is helping hundreds of families in our community every year. It's run by an amazing team of volunteers, all combining their individual gifts and talents, coupled with their passion and desire to see hungry people fed. You know, when I go over to the food pantry and I see the volunteers at work, I can't help but think back to that Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 verse that says, moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. Third, where are the opportunities? As you know your passions and your gifts, you will begin to see God presenting opportunities to you. And your job is to then put your faith to work and to serve. As you open yourself up to serving, God will use your passions and desires for a different world, combined with your gifts and talents and abilities to open up opportunities for you to work your faith. Now, these three things that I talk about and that I've just listed don't always work in a certain order. Sometimes an opportunity pops up, tugs at your heart, creates a passion and a desire for a different world, and then you consider your gifts and talents as you begin to work your faith. So how can you work your faith? I challenge you to be on the lookout. Ask God to open up your heart and your minds and your eyes and your ears to opportunities and to tug at your heart at that place to serve. And if you're not sure where or how you can serve, I really honestly believe that as director of missions, it's part of my job to sit down with you and help you to discover that place where you can work your faith. So let's talk. Finally, let's work our faith together so that we can continue changing lives that change the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let's pray. Thank you, God, for the challenges that we find in your Scripture, those verses that tug at our hearts and lead us in new directions. Help us, O God, to open up our hearts and our minds and our very being to what it is that you are calling us to so that we can work our faith and change the world. In Christ's name, amen. And now I send you out to work your faith. There is a world in need right outside these doors, and God is calling you to change the world. So go in peace, go and change the world. In Christ's name, amen.